Though we miss them, we rejoice with them. And welcome to the funeral sermon recordings of Scandia Bible Church, a collection of services archiving our church's history that recognize brothers and sisters in our congregation, Christian saints that have gone on before us, saints marching in to the arms of Jesus. In this recording, we mourn the passing and celebrate the life of our sister in Christ, Sarah Elizabeth Killian, with a funeral sermon delivered by Pastor Monty Seemau, November 2nd, 2024.
And you have no idea because Sarah wanted 18. David had to figure out how he was going to pare it down. It started as a Spotify playlist. Well, welcome everyone. Good afternoon. My name is Monty Seemau. I have the privilege of serving as one of the pastors at Scandia Bible Church. I've also had the joy knowing Sarah and the Killian family for many years, both as a pastor and as a friend. When I visited Sarah at the hospital, she shared with me some passages of Scripture that she said have been of great comfort. And one of the passages that she shared was Psalm 145. And in her final days, I read this psalm number four times, and each time I was just moved at her love for this psalm, and Sarah drew deep comfort from Psalm 145. I believe that God would use this same psalm to comfort us today. When we think of psalms of comfort, we often think of those passages where we receive direct comfort from God, or where the psalmist is specifically speaking of God's closeness and God's care. For instance, we might think of Psalm 34, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And psalms like this, they remind us that we, of course, do not grieve alone. God is with us in our sorrows, but Psalm 145 comforts us in a different way. When Sarah, when she first mentioned this psalm, it actually was a bit of a surprise. It's not a psalm that we usually think of in times of sorrow. And yet, as I reflected upon it, really the beauty of this passage, the power of just bringing peace to trouble hearts came out. And to give you just some background, Psalm 145 is unique in the Psalter. It is, well, one, it's an acrostic. It's following the Hebrew alphabet. It's the only psalm that's actually designated in the entire Psalter as a psalm of praise. It's the last psalm attributed to King David. He's writing it from the perspective of the King of Israel. Its position as this transition to these final psalms in the book of Psalm. And it's almost like Psalm 145 begins this crescendo of praise in the Psalter, of worship. And Sarah cherished the words of this psalm because they reminded her time and again of who God is. From this knowledge, she could rest in the assurance that our great God holds us, He knows us, He cares for us deeply. And that's why this psalm brought such comfort to Sarah. It's not a psalm of lament. It's a psalm of praise. And just think about that for just a moment. Can you imagine yourself in a hospital room receiving the news that you will not recover and asking that a psalm of praise would be read to you. For some of us, that thought may seem unimaginable. But when we are in pain, it doesn't matter if it's physical pain or emotional pain, a psalm of praise, it lifts our eyes away from ourselves. It lifts our eyes away from our circumstances. It turns our gaze to God. By the way, there's never good news looking inward. And there's never good news looking at whatever the circumstances of your life may be. There is always good news in looking to God. And in this psalm, it's as if God himself is saying, stop looking around at everything that seems so broken. Look up. There's a powerful line in the hymn before the throne of God above, and it goes, when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end of all my sin. And I love that. And it captures how in moments of despair, we're called to look up and see the one who has redeemed us. And this theme is woven throughout the psalm. David begins this psalm by exalting the greatness of God. He says this, and I'm going to read the first 7 verses here. He says, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. One of the things that Sarah was determined to do, even on her deathbed, was to declare the mighty acts of God to her children, to the next generation. In this, she really mirrors the spirit that we see here of David in Psalm 145. Here is David. He's the king of Israel, and yet he humbly cries out, I will extol you, my God, O King. David, despite his own authority and power, he acknowledges that God alone is the true King. David goes on to say, every day I will bless you. Let's pause and ask ourselves, is this something that we would say in the face of devastating news? Could we say these words when we are diagnosed with a terminal illness, when we are told that our bodies are beyond the help that medicine can provide? Is our hope in God so deeply rooted that we could declare on that day, I will bless you, my God, O my King? To be honest, that may be why this psalm was so helpful. Because even when we don't feel that way, this becomes a prayer to the Lord. And maybe it starts off as Psalm 43:5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you with turmoil within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. And then it becomes, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And there may have been times when that's what Sarah needed to do. But I'll tell you this. Predominantly, Sarah's courage and faith in this battle was a blessing to watch. To witness that. Her joy. She encouraged all of us to rejoice and bless the Lord. David begins this psalm with a sense of awe, acknowledging God's greatness that is far beyond what we can understand. And he declares, "Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." It is beyond our finite ability to grasp and understand. When we think of God's greatness, maybe you'll be picturing, the vastness of creation and the stars and the mountains and the depths of the sea. Yet God's greatness is also on display in a very deep and personal way. He knows about each of us. He cares for us individually. His greatness is shown in his ability to bring comfort, to bring peace, to bring strength in the most challenging of times, including this time. Even as Sarah faced illness, she could see the greatness of God, and it brought her comfort. And though she was suffering, she never doubted that God was with her, that he was near, that he was powerful, that he was sustaining her. David says in verse 4, "One generation shall commend your works to another." Sarah bore witness to God's greatness in her life, passing the legacy of faith on to us. A reminder that even now, God's greatness, mysteries, majesty holds us fast, even when we cannot fully understand or know what his hand is doing. Now, while God's greatness is awe-inspiring, it doesn't bring us comfort unless we know God's character. By the way, apart from Christ, God's greatness ought to terrify you. If you aren't looking to Jesus Christ alone for the righteousness that would make you acceptable before God, God's greatness will only emphasize his judgment upon sinners. But if you are looking to Christ, God's greatness showcases his goodness toward sinners, toward the undeserving. And David draws us into God's goodness in verses 8 to 13. He says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations." In verse 8 here, David reminds us of God's tender character. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. This is the God we serve. One who is full of compassion. One who forgives, who loves his people with a love that is steadfast, that is unwavering, that is a faithful love. Sarah knew this about God. She experienced the goodness of God in countless ways, both big and small, throughout her life. And she testified of those things. And I can picture her meditating on these very verses, finding assurance in the depth of God's love, this love that meant so much to Sarah, and it is the same love that holds all who are looking to Christ even now. God's goodness does not waver, even when we walk through sorrow. In verse 13, David proclaims, "His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. God's rule, God's love, God's care, they extend far beyond our limited view of what we can see and experience here." David then shifts the emphasis to God's faithfulness. Verses 14 to 21. God is not only great, God is not only good, but God is faithful. In fact, the gospel itself is about God proving his covenant faithfulness to an unfaithful people. In my office, the walls are covered with Sarah's incredible artistic collages and other pieces of art. And one of them is a beautifully framed hymn by Isaac Watts. entitled How Sweet and Awful is the Place. And sometimes in some hymnals they'll modernize it to How Sweet and Awesome is the Place. I like the original wording. The word awful carried a different connotation than what it does today. It meant full of awe, awe-inspiring. It conveyed a sense of reverence, of wonder at the overwhelming majesty of God. And that hymnal hanging on my wall serves as a daily reminder that the church consists of the unworthy and that Jesus Christ alone is worthy. If you haven't heard this hymn before, I encourage you to look it up. It may give you a new perspective of what it means to be part of God's people, part of Christ's church. The hymn beautifully captures God's grace and faithfulness to his promises, highlighting that he saves the unworthy. He saves wretches like us. In verse 2, it reads, "While all our hearts and all our songs join to admire the feast, each of us cry with thankful tongues, Lord, why was I?" Yes. "Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter while there is room when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come?" These words hang in my office because of Sarah. It was something she knew of herself, and she wanted me to know it as well. Part of Sarah's ministry to me was reminding me I was a sinner. The point, though, is that the Lord is faithful to keep his promises. His faithfulness is not contingent on our worthiness. It is an outpouring of his grace and his steadfast love. If you have any doubts, just know we are always unworthy. David says, beginning in verse 14, "The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds." Listen. "The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praises of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever." David tells us here in Psalm 14, in verse 14, "The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down." This is a promise that when life feels unbearable and heavy, when you are bowed down in sorrow and grief and pain, God will lift you up. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. Sarah found great comfort in God's faithfulness. She rested in the assurance that God would uphold her even when her physical strength faded. And now as she rests fully in his presence, she experiences the faithfulness in a way that we could only imagine. In our grief, God extends the same promise to us. We don't have to carry this weight of sorrow alone. He is faithful to bear it with us. His kindness, his nearness, they're here to sustain us, just as they sustained Sarah. Verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon him." Even as we mourn, as we bring our sadness to him, God is close. His nearness is his promise, and his faithfulness is unchanging. We can trust him to carry us through this time of loss, just as he faithfully carried Sarah into his presence. This psalm is, in fact, David's last words, his final words in the Psalter. Pastor James Montgomery Boyce, he calls Psalm 145 David's last will and testament. That's a fitting description, isn't it? These are the words David chose to leave behind, a legacy of praise of God's greatness, His goodness, His faithfulness. And today, they are also the words that Sarah leaves us with, pointing us back to the one who holds her now and promises to hold us too. The voice said of David, if he had nothing else to say in his long life, these words would be a fine legacy for future generations. In it, he praises God and invites others to praise God also. It's been said already today, Sarah loves you. Not loved. She loves you still. We are the ones in the land of the dying. She's in the land of the living. Sarah, she loves her family. Most of all, Sarah loves her God and King. This song is not only David's last will and testament, it is Sarah's as well. I want you kids to know this is a better will and testament than if your mom only half a man did. Sarah didn't cherish this song simply because it's a song of praise. She loved it because it was a song of profound truth. Who is God? A.W. Tozer once said, what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And this song reflects what came to mind for Sarah. She was deeply aware of her own sin, her own inability to measure up to God's law. She knew of her great need for a Savior and was convinced that Christ alone had opened the door of salvation to her. The only way of salvation for sinners. And because of this, she looked to this song to remind her of who God is. Great, good, faithful. Her life was shaped by these truths. Her final days were comforted by them. And now her eternity is fulfilled by them. If you watched Sarah in this battle over cancer, you saw how tenacious her hold upon God was. And it's because God had a forever hold upon her. It was on June 14th, a couple of months after she received the diagnosis in 2022, I received this email, which is just part of it. Sarah said, so I never thought I'd have to write an email like this, but here it is. God sure does work in interesting ways. He is using something now for me to draw closer to Him. Something I have been deathly afraid of pretty much most of my life. I'm having to remind myself daily that He is sovereign over everything. Sometimes that is hard to do. You know, I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you are angry. I don't know if you are overwhelmed in sorrow. Sarah was a sister, a daughter, a friend, a mom, a wife, so many things to so many people. She did not want to leave you. She felt that there were things left unfinished, but there will always be things left unfinished in this world. But her King called her home. And of all that she was living for that moment most of all. Lord, but I'm not done. And one of the final lessons that Sarah had to learn was that God was sovereign even over what she left undone. That David and her children were in God's hands where they had been all along. David ends the psalm in verse 21 by saying, my mouth will speak the praises of the Lord, and all flesh will bless His holy name forever and ever. Let that be our prayer as well. Even in our grief, we can praise the Lord for His kindness, His mercy, His steadfast love that endures forever. Sarah's faith and life call for us to look up to God in faith. to trust His promises, to rest in His love until that great day when we are all reunited in His presence. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Sarah's life, for the joy she brought into our lives, for her faithful trust in You. We ask, Lord, that You would comfort us in our sorrow, remind us of Your greatness, of Your goodness, Your faithfulness never fails. We bring our grief to You, asking that You would hold us as You held Sarah, and that You keep our hearts close to You. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.